Our next installment of Lectionary at Lunch focuses on the pericope that in St. Matthew's Gospel that concludes Matthew's major middle-ish section or unit of text from chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 16, verse 20. The text that we'll be looking at this time around is here in chapter 16. At the end of that middle-ish section, we'll be spending our time focusing on verses 13 to 20 of chapter 16 of the Gospel of Matthew. This is an important text, a text that continues to command significant attention from interpreters. It's especially perhaps two statements appearing in our text for this time that cause it to be of great interest to many. Here Jesus asks the question, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Peter, speaking not just for himself, mind you, but for the company, on behalf of the entire company of the disciples, responds to Jesus, expressing the sentiment of that entire company, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus responds in this very familiar text to many, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So here we have these two defining statements going on in the narrative, and there's much for us here to ponder, especially as we appreciate the fact that when Peter speaks, he's not speaking only for himself. When Peter speaks, he speaks as a representative of the company of the 12, that nucleus of the new Israel, that company of apostolic patriarchs of the new church. When Peter speaks, he speaks for these. When Jesus responds to him, he responds not just to Peter, but to all of his disciples gathered there before him. He speaks with reference to them and what Peter and they together represent as the time for Jesus suffering a death on the cross draws near. This is the dynamic of the moment in the text. Peter, the company of the 12, Peter speaking for the others, Jesus responding to them all. So let's take a look at our text then with those things in mind. Verse 13. After Jesus had come, elthon is the participle of erchemai, followed by the conjunction de, and then ha Jesus. After Jesus had come to the parts of Caesarea, esta mera Caesarias, of Caesarea Philippi, tes Philippu. Parts here is kind of an idiomatic way of referring to the district of Caesarea Philippi. After he had done this, he began to ask. Erota is an imperfect of erotao and likely here inceptive. He began to ask his disciples, tous mathetas autou, saying, lego. Then comes the all-important question. To make sense of the syntax of the question, it perhaps helps for us first to begin with it as a statement. So kind of forestalling tena for a second, we begin with the rest of Jesus' question, first posing it as a statement. The people, the men, hoi anthropoi, say, legusin, that the Son of Man is enai ton huion tu anthropu. What we're looking at here is an infinitive of indirect discourse following the verb of saying legusin. So the men say that anai is that infinitive of indirect discourse. Tan huyan in the accusative supplies the subject of that infinitive of indirect discourse. The people say that the Son of Man is who? Tana. Turning that around, turning it into a question, who do the men or the people say that the Son of Man is? Now, we kind of started with the statement so we could recognize why Tana here is masculine, singular, and accusative. The interrogative pronoun at the very beginning of the question is a bit of a puzzle, but when you first look at this question in terms of its possible character as a statement, then you see why Tana is in the accusative. Tan huyon tu anthropu, the Son of Man, is all in the accusative because that phrase is the subject of the infinitive. Infinitives take their subject in the accusative. Now, the copula, the infinitive, the form of eme here, appearing as an infinitive, takes its predicate nominative in the same case as that of the subject. So, because ton huyan is in the accusative, tena is also in the accusative. Verse 14. And they said, hoi de plus the verb here indicates a change in subject. Hoi is the article. It doesn't modify anything here. It marks a change in subject. It indicates that the subject is masculine, plural, and nominative. So Jesus' disciples are responding, and they said, "Hoi de epon." What follows is decidedly elliptical. One has to supply what's understood here. It helps to notice a couple of things. First, the uses of hoi followed by alloy, followed by heteroi. Allied with these is the men de construction, which describes matters on the one hand, on the other hand. So men de, we translate on the one hand, on the other hand. That helps us with what remains. What remains is continues to be a bit of a challenge, though, because we're noticing also with the options being considered by the masses. You know, on the one hand, they are saying that the Son of Man is. So we're supplying what's elided there, what's assumed there. On the one hand, men say, the masses say, that the Son of Man is Ioannin ton Baptistein. John the Baptist. Now, that phrase there, John the Baptist, again, is appearing in the accusative. Why? Because the construction here is actually recalling and assuming the prior one, involving the infinitive of indirect discourse, involving a subject that's in the accusative, and then Tana also in the accusative. So what follows continues to be in the accusative because all of this is allied. All of this is assuming a similar construction. So, hoi, men, on the one hand, they say the Son of Man is John the Baptist. On the other hand, others, alloi de, are saying that the Son of Man is Elijah, Elion. On the other hand, again, still others, heteroi de, are saying that the Son of Man is Jeremiah or a Yeremiah, a Jeremiah or one of the prophets, Hena ton prophetone. Verse 15. Jesus said to them, Lege, historical present, a fronting text form with Jesus as the subject. Matthew's choice of the historical present here is a nice one, does a nice job of fronting Jesus doing the talking here. He said to them, lege autois. But who do you, hemes de tena, who are you saying that I am? Himes datina, but you who me, again, is in the accusative, supplying the subject of the infinitive. There it is, again, anai at the end of verse 15. Again, we're looking at an infinitive of indirect discourse. But who do you say that infinitive of indirect discourse? I, me, am, anai. Verse 16, here it comes. Peter speaks, but not just for himself. Simon Peter, Simon Petros, answered, apokrithes is a participle describing an action contemporaneous to the indicative verb form that follows. So apokrithes epen, he answered and said, doesn't mean that he did two different things. It means that he did one thing. He offered a response saying, then Simon Peter answered and said, epen. Here comes a clause of direct discourse this time. Sou, you are a, the Christ, ha Christos, the Son of God, ha Huios, the living one, tu zontos. Tu zontos agrees with tu theou. Tu zontos is a participle of zao. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the God who lives, who's real, who exists. The gods of the pagan Gentile world are figments of their imagination. They do not exist. They do not live. The God of Jesus, the Christ, the God who Jesus is the Son of, is the God who lives. The God who Jesus himself is the God who lives. You then, Peter declares, speaking for the company of the entire company of the disciples, you are the Christ, the Son of God who lives, Son of the God who lives. Verse 17, Jesus offers his own response, answering and saying, apokrithes de ha Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, epen auto, makareos. The predicate adjective precedes the form of the verb to be. Blessed are you, makareos a, comma, Simon, son of Jonah, Simon, bar Jonah. Why? Because, hati, flesh and blood, sarx kai haima, did not, uk, reveal apokalypsen. We need to probably supply a direct object here. Did not reveal this to you, soi. Rather, al, my father, ha pater mu, the one who is in heaven, ha en tois uranois. Again, the construction, the statement is elliptical, so we need to supply something. My father did this, revealed this to you. My father, ha pater mu, the one who is in heaven, ha, the definite article, substantizes the prepositional phrase en tois uranois, causing that substantized element to adjectivally modify my father. Right. Here Jesus first indicates to Peter that such a confession doesn't happen through the mere powers of flesh and blood. It happens when God in heaven above facilitates and reveals such a thing. Verse 18, kago is the combination of kai and ego. So with the supplying of the explicit subject here, ego, emphasis is appropriately given by what with what follows. Kago and And I also, da, am saying to you, soy lego, that, okay, here Hutti marks a clause of indirect discourse, and I'm adding something to this. You, declares Jesus, you, su, are a Peter, Petros, and on this rock, kai epi taute, this rock te Petra. And notice, Petros is the proper noun for Peter. The name means rock. Jesus doesn't say, and on you or on the one I'm now naming Peter. Instead, because he's not responding to Peter, who's speaking to himself, and he's not responding only or meaning to describe only the persons that he has in mind, but even greater and further realities than these, he says then to Peter, and not just to Peter, on this rock, epi taute te Petra, I will build oikodemeso, my church, mu tein ekklesion, and the gates of Hades, kai pulai hedu, will not prevail, u katesku susen autes, prevail against it. The verb here takes its complement in the dative. Before we say more about the possible or greater significance of Jesus' statement here, let's read through verses 19 and 20. I will give to you, especially with these completing verses, we come to understand that Jesus is not just responding to Peter, not just meaning to say that upon Peter or even just upon the company of the disciples, but even upon more than this, will he build his church. Here in verse 19, he suggests, again, not just to Peter, but to the entire company of the disciples, that theirs will be an all-important charge. Theirs will be an all-important function in the world. First, Jesus must lead. Then his disciples will lead. When Jesus is risen from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father, then this nucleus of the new Israel, then these patriarchs of the new Israel, with this charge from Jesus and confessing him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, then the disciples will lead. Then the disciples and this confession and the function that they serve in response to the charge of Jesus in the stead and by the command of Jesus, then all of these things will be the rock, the foundation that Jesus begins with, that God the Father in heaven and above, in fellowship with his Son, begins with, to build a resulting future church. So what else does Jesus reference here with these last two verses of the text? He references an office that the disciples will serve in his stead, and by his command, they will serve and function in the office of the keys. That office continues to exist even today, of course. That apostolic office, that foundation of the identity of the church, apart from it, a fundamental thing is lacking. With it, there is a confession and more. There is the church. Verse 19, doso, I will give to you, soy, the keys, tas kleidos, of the kingdom of the heavens, of the kingdom of heaven, tes basileas ton uranon, and whatever you bind, kai ha on deses, deses is the subjunctive of deo, a sentence here is generalizing. Ha on becomes generalizing. Whatever you bind on earth, epites geis, will have been bound estai dedamenon in the heavens, en tois uranois. The grammar here, the syntax here is a little peculiar, but actually is all important. Whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, declares Jesus. And kai, whatever, ha on, you loose, luces on earth, epitesques, will have been loosed, lelumenon, in heaven, in the heavens. And tois uranois. Here, as elsewhere, as in the conclusion to the narrative of the Gospel of John, where Jesus also invests his disciples with the future function of serving in the office of the keys, Jesus speaks with reference to an all-important binding and loosing, suggesting not that one thing has to happen first before the other thing happens, but instead suggesting that when these disciples function in this way in the stead and by the command of Christ, because it's done in this way, if it's done on earth, it's done in heaven. These things are then simultaneous because they are done from Christ in response to his charge, in his stead and by his command. What's assured then on earth is assured from heaven. One need not wait for one thing to happen before the other thing happens. Verse 20. Then he charged, tate, de estelato, the disciples, tois mathetais, that they say, the hina clause here is an object clause. It specifies the object of the verb of charging, prescribing, instructing. Then he charged the disciples not to say any, not even one thing, me dene, not to say to anyone that he was hote autos estin, the Christ, ha Christos. There are many inglorious things for us to consider from this text. We've mentioned a few of them. Also important to a discerning reading of the text would be some attention paid to this final verse and the puzzle that it presents regarding Jesus' willingness to receive this confession of Peter, expressing the sentiment of the entire company of the disciples. But then what does he do? He charges them not to say anything about it to anyone, not yet. Why? Because neither the disciples nor the crowds are prepared to fully comprehend yet the glorious significance of the confession that's been offered by Jesus, that's shared by the others. Until more has taken place, until Jesus' hour comes, the hour of his cross, it's just not yet time. To quote another gospel, his hour has not yet come. So the time has not yet come for these or others to proclaim this glorious truth. The disciples, not just the masses, but the disciples too, are still pondering all of this, storing it up in their hearts, struggling with their experience of Jesus and wondering where it's all going until they have a chance to see where it's all going. It's all very premature for them to be saying too much about this confession of theirs to anyone else. So Jesus charges them not to say anything. There's much for us even today then to ponder here as we recognize that we too are still working this out. But what we gloriously know is that the confession is so, and the foundation has been laid, And Jesus is about the business of working through that same apostolic ministry, through that new Israel, even today, to build a church that continues to grow generation after generation as we await the day of our Lord's coming, when he judges the living and the dead and gathers his faithful to himself. So it's not because we have it all figured out exactly, but we have all important things in hand. That we rejoice in the opportunity to ponder on this text, ponder the significance of this great text and this all-important confession and foundation as we await that return of our Lord. I wish you God's blessing as you serve him, seek to serve him in all things faithfully, with his word of God as our rock and foundation. The Lord be with you. Amen.